All hail the power of Jesus, name, let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem.
Welcome to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Abbotville Church of Christ. Your speaker is E.R. Hall, Jr.
Good morning, and welcome to you and our radio audience. We appreciate you tuning in, and we hope that you listen for the duration of the program, for we attempt to speak only those things from God's holy and divine word. If at any time you have a question about something that we say on the program, or maybe you have a Bible question or a Bible subject you'd like for us to treat and deal with on the program, please feel free to contact us at the information given by the announcer, or you can contact me directly by email. My address is preacher@eastabbotville.org. For the past few days, we've been looking at a series of studies concerning sins that we need to avoid. And so with that in mind, we want to pick up with the sin of covetousness. You know, when we get older, we obtain more control and possession of things. And as often the case is, covetousness is something that produces strife. In Luke chapter 12, it's in verse 13, it says, "Then one from the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me.' And he said unto him, 'Man, who has made me a judge or an arbitrator over you?' And he said to them, 'Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things that he possesses.'" And also with this, Jesus replies with a parable about covetousness. And that begins in verse 16 of Luke chapter 12. "Then he spake a parable to them, saying, 'The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God.'" What we see in this parable is that this man committed five grievous sins. First, he hoarded his goods instead of using them properly. The second thing is he thought he had plenty of time. And the third thing is he thought that his soul could feast on things that he put in barns. And fourth, notice he commanded his soul, but yet forgot God's commands for his soul. And the fifth thing is he left God completely out of his plans. There are reasons that we need to beware of covetousness that the scriptures point out. We understand from 1 Timothy chapter 6, notice it says, beginning with verse 9, "But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." One reason we need to beware of covetousness is that the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Not money, but the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Another reason we need to beware of covetousness is the scriptures define it as idolatry. In Ephesians 5 and verse 5, "For this you know, that no whoremonger or unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God." So covetousness is idolatry. And one other passage that shows this is Colossians 3 In verse 5, it says, "Put to death, therefore, your members that are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry." And then again, another reason that we need to beware of covetousness is that the covetous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning with verse 9, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." We need, as Colossians 3 and verse 5 that we read just a moment ago, we need to put to death. The King James says, "Mortify, therefore, your members." That simply means that we need to put to rest, put to death, these members. And one of those members was, as stated, the things that do with covetousness. And verse 6 goes on and says, "For which thing's sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience." How do we put to death covetousness in the lives that we live here day to day? Well, Hebrews 13 and verse 5 says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." We put covetousness to death by being content with what we have. We put covetousness to death when, rather than putting our trust in the things that we have, the things that we possess, we put our trust in God. God will not fail us. Things of a material nature may be ours today and someone else's tomorrow. And it is God that will provide for our needs. In Proverbs chapter 3, the statement starting in verse 5 says, excuse me, "Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all of thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine." So truly, trust needs to be in God. But it's so easy to put our trust in the things that we have. Covetousness comes from the heart. We know that from Mark chapter 7, when Jesus said in verse 21, "For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blaspheme, pride, and foolishness." And that harmonizes with what we read, excuse me, over in Proverbs 4 in verse 23. It says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." We put covetousness to death when we put God and his kingdom first. Matthew 6 and verse 33. So truly, covetousness is a sin that we need to avoid. Another sin that we need to avoid is hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is a word that literally, it means an actor. And so when we use the word hypocrisy, we are using it in the sense and the meaning of pretending to be something that we're not, or maybe pretending to be better than we actually are. And so hypocrisy involves hiding sin so that people will think that a person is more religious than he really is. It's in Matthew chapter 23 that we read in verse 27, Jesus says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within, full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Even so you also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. So we see then that herein lies one of the greatest discouragements to our young people. Instead of setting a godly example, what do they see? They see sin. Also, the older demand more of the young than they themselves are willing to produce. But we know that Jesus, as far as his teaching is concerned, he taught very strongly against this sin of hypocrisy. It's mainly a sin against God. You know, we can deceive other people. We can fool other people and make other people think that we are better than what we are. But there's no fooling God. There is no deception that we can, no hypocrisy that we can engage in, but what God does not see. We see an example of that in Ananias and Sapphira. They wanted the impression to be made that they had brought all of the money from what they had sold and laid it at the apostles' feet. They wanted other people to think that they had brought all of that money and laid it at the apostles' feet, but they had not. You and I would have been fooled. We would have not known any better, but not God. And so they fell dead as a result of their lying to God and their lying to the Holy Spirit. So the hypocrite will indeed come to a terrible end. In Matthew chapter 23 and verse 14, Jesus said, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! You devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore you shall receive the greater damnation." And on down later in verse 33, Jesus said, "You serpent, you generation of vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell?" Another sin that we need to avoid is the sin of backbiting. You know, the meaning of this word is seen in really just the word itself. It really literally means biting behind the back. So it means speaking maliciously of a person when they're absent. See, secrecy is involved. Whereas with slander, slander is more open, but the backbiter is the coward. He's cowardly and he is cruel in nature. Some of the verses that we need to consider are those like Ephesians 4, verses 31 and 32. "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be you kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you." James in James 4, verse 11 says, "Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaks evil of his brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There's one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judges another?" And in Titus 3, it's in verse 1, "Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men." There's a difference in evil speaking and genuine concern with the desire to help. It says, "Speak evil of no one." Why? Well, because we're all the offspring of God. We are all, therefore, an object of God's love. James said in James 3 and verse 9 that, "Therefore, bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God." So it is, we need to be careful with the sin and avoid the sin of backbiting. We see our time is gone. Thank you so much for listening. We hope that you'll tune in tomorrow, and it's until then that we bid you a pleasant good day. And now we return you to our announcer.
Thank you for listening to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Albertville Church of Christ, which meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431 in Albertville, Alabama. This broadcast airs locally on WBSA 1300 AM and Gospel 93.5 FM. Broadcast times are Monday through Saturday at 11:15 a.m. and Sunday at 8:30 a.m. We invite you to worship with us anytime. We meet on Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for a Bible study, which is followed by a worship service at 10:30. We meet again for another worship service at 5 o'clock p.m. On Wednesdays, we meet for a Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m., which is followed by a short worship service. Please visit our website at eastabbotville.org, where you will be able to listen to all of our services live. You will also have access to our vast audio library of sermons, debates, and every episode of this program. You will also find many articles on various Bible topics. There is a link to submit any Bible question you may have, and while you are there, please subscribe to our bi-monthly email bulletin. Join us again tomorrow for What the Bible Says.